Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome back. This is our daily devotional for March 29th, 2023, and I am delighted to be with you this morning or afternoon or evening or whenever you happen to find this, coming to you from my parents' house in Cashville, South Carolina. That's in Spartanburg County, not far from Greenville, South Carolina. I have meetings here this week and in Columbia, South Carolina, so I'm on the road, but I'm delighted to have this opportunity nonetheless, and let me assure you, I'm not wearing a purple sweater or a blue sweater that's kind of purple here and kind of purple here, and nor have I been eating a lot of blueberries because I'm coming across purple too. I don't know what it is. It's the clear light bulbs, right? The incandescent clears. For some reason, it does weird color tones to my screen, but nevertheless, it's good to be with you, and it's good to have the technology all the same. I hope that your week is going very well. Of course, I'm recording these now a day in advance. I should say it looks like Sunday worked, so I'm glad that we were able to be here live on Sunday, and here's hoping we'll do that again this coming Sunday. But as I record this a day in advance, I'm actually recording this on March 28th, and that would have meant yesterday was the 27th, and this horrible thing has happened in Tennessee. I'm not going to comment long on that. Y'all know my position on this. We can be outraged. We can be angry. We can be disappointed. We can be filled with sorrow. However, we cannot be surprised when things like this happen. We live in a world that teaches that there will never be anybody that you have to give an account to. We're in a world that teaches that your truth is your truth, and that's all you need to worry about following, right? We live in a world that teaches there's no such thing as accountability, not really, unless it has to do with the environment or something ridiculous like that. Yet again, we see on display that in our world where life is cheap, somebody has acted as if it's cheap. And the answer to this, of course, will be a myriad of things proposed by a myriad of people. What's horrible is this terrible thing that has happened. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Could it have been prevented? I mean, y'all, what a fruitless road to go down. We can talk about the symptoms, right? But the problem is a lack of Jesus Christ, ultimately. People doing wicked, horrible things that don't know the Lord, right? That have no hope for the future, that have believed the line that has been sold to them. And it's just, it's absolutely unthinkable. It's absolutely horrible. So let's pray for Covenant PCA, for the pastor who lost his own daughter, certainly, which I can tell you that hits close to home for me. It's just terrible. But I hope you continue to pray for them. After all, we know that prayer works. Last time we were together, we were in Acts chapter 4 with the prayer offered by Peter and John with, quote, their people as they went back to the church and they prayed. We talked about what the focus of their prayer was and what they prayed for. It wasn't for safety. It wasn't for anything selfish. Instead, they prayed that they would be able to continue to do the very thing that they were warned against, right? Now, Lord, and this is Acts 4:29. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. What we find from Peter and John and the others is that their desire is God's desire. They have prayed that God would accomplish his will. And of course, at the end, we saw after they prayed, verse 31, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Now, where we pick up today is with the application of this. What does this look like to see a church that is filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking the truth in boldness? Let's pray and we'll find out. Our Father, please be with us now as we come to your word. Help us to understand it. As I've referenced, we pray for the folks in Tennessee that are grieving the loss of children, that are grieving the loss of loved ones. This senseless, horrible thing that has happened, that has become far too often and common, or has happened far too often, become far too common. Father, we pray that you would intervene, that for those that are mourning, you would give peace and a special measure of your presence, that they would understand you are at work and know that you are with them. For those that would make political hay out of this, oh, Father, work in their hearts that they would come to know you as well. What a tragic time. And yet, you are working. You are working. So please, let us take heart in this. And now, as we come to your word, let us understand and let us apply it to ourselves as we examine how we function. And we pray it all in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so thus far, before I even get to the application of being filled with the Holy Spirit, thus far, the story of Acts is not very complicated at all. Acts 1, Jesus ascends back into heaven, promises the Holy Spirit again. Acts 2, the apostles receive the Holy Spirit. You have the great sermon at Pentecost. 3,000 come that day. Acts 3, Peter and John going into the temple, right? They come across the beggar that was born handicapped. They heal him. Then Peter preaches another great sermon there at the temple. Around 2,000 more come to be saved. Then Peter and John get arrested. They're taken before the Sanhedrin, some of the same cast and characters that we saw before with Jesus, Caiaphas, Annas, right? They're told very strictly not to continue preaching in the name of Jesus. They're released because the Sanhedrin knows they can't do anything with them because all Israel has seen what they've done. And then, yesterday it would have been, we came together and we saw their prayer after being released, and we saw that they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they and those that were with them. So what you have as we come to Acts chapter 4, verse 32, is a church that is filled with the Holy Spirit. And what does that look like? Verse 32, all the believers were one in heart and mind. Stop right there. Stop. After this, we will talk about the manifestation of this. But y'all, a church that is filled with the Holy Spirit is a church that is united. That's the principle that is laid out here. A church that is filled with the Holy Spirit is a church that is united. Okay? This shouldn't be a surprise to us. I know I say that line all over and over again, but it really shouldn't. If you were with us Sunday morning, you'll know that I preached about this to a certain extent. I was in 3 John and I talked about John's command yet again to walk in the truth and to love one another and to be on the lookout for deceivers, right? But in loving one another, y'all, the natural product of that when you love one another is that you're united together in purpose, in truth. And this is the very thing Jesus prayed for. Go today. Read John chapter 17. John chapter 17 is called the high priestly prayer of Christ, or the high priestly prayer, depending on who you listen to. But it's the prayer that Jesus offered just prior to his arrest, crucifixion, subsequent resurrection. Of all the things Jesus could pray for, you find that he prays that they, talking about not only his disciples, but those who are far off, all those who will come to know him, that they would be brought together in complete unity. And Jesus even says why in John 17. Jesus says that they be brought together in complete unity so that the world may know that you have sent me and they may know that you have loved them even as you have loved me. Y'all, according to Jesus, the way the world will know about his authenticity, the way the world will know that God loves them is through the way you and me love each other. It's through the way, it's through how they see us being united. And so, of course, after being filled with the Holy Spirit, it only makes sense because the Holy Spirit goes from and proceeds forth from the Father and Son to do the will of the Father and the Son. And the will of the Son is very clearly, the will of the Father is very clearly that we be brought together in complete unity. And so it only makes sense that all the believers were one in heart and mind. Verse 32. But that's not where it stops. Other things are going on here. Continue reading in verse 32. It says, no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. Y'all, this is the Philippians 2 paradigm coming into play, right? Where it's not only they're united together, they're actively not considering themselves more important than they should, but in humility, they are putting the other first. And no, y'all, this is not communism. And people will use God's word like a club, if they can, to drive any agenda they want to drive. And some people look at this and they say, aha, there you have it. Political system found in God's word is communism. Y'all, tell me where it says here that no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had because of an oppressive government regime that threatened them with death and imprisonment if they didn't surrender everything they had to the state. Because verse 32 in my Bible says, but they shared everything they had. None of this state mandated thing, right? You know, I'm not going to get into the politics of that, but, you know, y'all know that I try not to get into political stuff. Moral issues all day long, right? Because the scriptures should inform our view of moral issues. But in terms of political systems, y'all, to preach or to argue that communism is what is taught in the Bible is completely contrary. In fact, as we go along, you'll see that the concept of the ownership of property is definitely present, okay? So you can't make a case for communism with Acts chapter 4, but you can make a case for Philippians 2. You can make a case for loving each other. You can make a case of caring for each other, of sharing out of the abundance that you have. A principle is laid down here, y'all. And that is, if the Lord blesses you, he expects you to be a blessing to others. It's not hard. It's not hard at all. And also another principle is laid down. If you are in need, true need, not in want, and want and in need are two different things, right? But if you are in need, that's what the church is for as well. The whole idea is that the Lord in his sovereignty brings the people together that he brings together because he knows what is needed. And if one person has an overabundance, that person is to share. And if someone has a genuine need, that person is not to feel bad about taking from the other if it's being given. You know, the idea here is that of family. Being united in Christ, with God as our Father and Christ as our brother. You might say, oh, that sounds utopian. No, it doesn't sound utopian. It sounds like when people love each other, they take care of each other. That's what a church filled with the Holy Spirit does. They're united and they take care of each other. And then we find out in verse 33, with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. So what else do we see as being a sign of being filled with the Holy Spirit? Love each other. Take care of each other. The truth is proclaimed. A church that's really filled with the Holy Spirit proclaims the truth of Jesus Christ. Because what else will the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit testifies to the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit glorifies the Father and the Son. And that will happen as a result of the truth being told. And we find out in verse 34, there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. And then we find out Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Do you get what's going on here? Don't try to turn this into something that it's not with the feet. Y'all, it's a very simple situation. There were people that had need and there were people that had an abundance. Barnabas here, the son of encouragement, went and sold a field like the others that are talked about, right? He went and he sold a field. And he brought the money and he put it at the apostles' feet. It's the principle of you are the ones that are in charge of the church. This is the principle of eldership, but that's for another moment, another devotional. But nevertheless, he took the money. Don't let me step on too many toes here. But he took the money. He didn't stick it in an envelope and he didn't earmark it for, you know, 500 different things going on in the church, like a new coffee maker, and I want a little plaque put on the new coffee maker. I've got to have a little bit of fun with this, y'all. And I'm not saying that it's bad to designate funds or anything like that, but what you see here is this beautiful give and take. You see this beautiful level of trust. But y'all, the basis of this, it's not the people. It's not the people. Barnabas is named specifically. Others did this and are not named. The point is not the people. The point is not the circumstances that were going on in the book of Acts. The point is to show us what a Holy Spirit-filled and led church looks like. And y'all, that can be the case anywhere with any group of God's people. And it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. But the overall principle I think we need to be aware of is this. And with this, I'll end. Because, y'all, we have the paradigm presented today. We get the problem tomorrow. But nevertheless. Y'all, the overall principle is that while there are many tasks for us to do as the church, right? Many commands that the Lord gives, many things for us to be involved in, and all sorts of ways to fulfill the commands of God. We've got to start at the start. We've got to examine ourselves and examine whether or not we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And when I said we and ourselves, I don't mean just as churches as a whole. I mean you, right now, me, right now. Are you filled with the Spirit? Are you being led by the Spirit? You know, Christians across time have looked at Acts chapter 4 and they said, oh, if only we could have a church like that. Well, what do you mean like that? You mean a church that teaches God's word? A church that loves one another? A church that's united together? A church that takes care of each other? Yo, this is not some unattainable goal. This is not some paradigm presented that the church will never, ever get back to. We can look at times throughout history where the very similar things have happened. Look at Geneva, for instance, during the Protestant Reformation. Same kind of things were going on there that were going on here. Look at the Great Awakening. Same kind of things that were going on in Acts chapter 4 were going on then. The Lord has intervened throughout time. This is not some unattainable goal. But the principle is that it starts not on this broad scale. It starts with you. It starts with me. Submitting to the Spirit. Asking for the Lord to fill us and guide us. And then having the courage to obey, to trust, and to praise him at all times. Oh, when we do that, the Lord does amazing things, y'all. And at the same time, when we refuse to do that, the Lord does amazing things too. Amazing and sometimes terrible. But that's for tomorrow. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, give us hearts that understand. Give us eyes that see. Give us ears that hear. Let us not look at this as some ancient occurrence, but instead let us evaluate ourselves in light of the teaching of your word. And we pray it all in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I'd like to thank you all for being a part of this time. Lord willing, we'll be Lord willing, we'll be back soon. I look forward to this time with y'all. But in the meantime, I hope that everybody has a fantastic Wednesday. Until tomorrow, have a great day.